Happy Thanksgiving. Let's try it again. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
There we go. That's good. Was it joyful? Did your family get along? We'd expect nothing less than a mixed reaction to that one. Did you take a nap? How many took a nap the last several days? Okay. How many take a nap every day? Well, how many are planning on napping the next 20 minutes? I might ask that. A nap during Thanksgiving, that's a stuffing-induced coma is what that is that we have on Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving's passed. Christmas is less than a month away. How did that happen? Thanksgiving, I ate too much. Not too much of one thing. Mostly I ate too much of a whole lot of things. You see, we never have dessert at our house unless someone's coming over for dinner. Unless we have company, no dessert. Now, don't get me wrong, I love dessert, but in general, it's just not needed. And you must remember, too, that I work at a place with more cookies than a Keebler cookie factory. They're here all the time, those cookies. So we rarely have dessert at home. But on Thanksgiving, after eating more food than anyone in their right mind would eat, out come the pies and the ice cream. And we have a family favorite called peanut butter pie, which is very rich. And my Emily makes a killer pecan pie. And of course, you can't have one without the other. What a great tradition of gluttony. So yesterday, I get on the scale. Now, I might ask, who in their right mind would do that? Felicia walked in the bathroom as I was trying to suck in my gut. She said, you can suck it in or you can hold your breath. It's not going to change the reading on the scale. I thought that was helpful coming from someone with a 0% body fat. I replied, do I look stupid? I'm not holding it in to lower the reading on the scale. I'm holding it in so I can see the reading on the scale. All right, Thanksgiving's behind us and Christmas is less than a month away. Black Friday shopping gives way to Cyber Monday. The great American shopping orgy is upon us. Get them what they need this year. Get them what they want. Never mind, they don't need anything. But you got to get them something just to save face or to show them that you love them. What's on your list for Christmas? What are you looking to get? What are you looking to give? Thanksgiving is past. But wait a minute. Should Thanksgiving ever be past? Look around. Take inventory. Count your blessings. Contemplate what really matters. Should Thanksgiving ever be past? Perhaps it's time to rethink this holiday season. Now, this morning's sermon is going to be in two very distinct parts. The first, we're going to call One Day is Not Enough. And then we're going to end with I Hear You. First, a reading from Ephesians, the first chapter. St. Paul writes these words. I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Let's try it together. I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Thanksgiving. What are you most thankful for? Let's try a little exercise. Close your eyes if you will. Engage your imagination and memory for a moment. Now picture the two people that you are most thankful for who are no longer with us. I mean those who have deceased. Okay, time's up. Now, think of two people in your family who you're particularly thankful for. Okay, time's up. Now then, we're surrounded this morning by your church family. Get an image in your mind of the two people here at Trinity Lutheran Church that you're most thankful for. Okay, time's up. Every day we're surrounded with blessings, right? Too numerous to count. Think of all of them. Warm beds, hot showers, refrigerators, sunrises, sunsets, dogs, cats. Get the image in your mind and contemplate for a moment the things that you appreciate most about life on Whidbey Island in the 21st century. Okay, time's up. Now you go, Pastor, slow down for crying out loud. This exercise could have been meaningful to me if you just give me a little time. 5 seconds is not enough. It's not enough, is it? And in the same vein, one day of Thanksgiving is not enough. This is one messed up holiday. I'm so thankful for the plentiful harvest that I'm going to gorge myself. I'm so thankful for the founders of this great nation that I'm going to watch football until the mashed potatoes in my stomach harden like petrified wood. I'm so thankful for my family and friends that I'm going to drink too much wine, lose patience or consciousness, and neglect to tell them how thankful I am to have them in my life and how much I appreciate them. I'm so thankful for my blessings that I'm going to spend 3 days cooking and cleaning or sitting in a ferry line so that we can get together and never speak tender words of truth to each other. This is a messed up holiday. Now, holiday means holy day, and one day is not enough. Now, I have no problem with lots of food on Thanksgiving. I have no problem with football. I happen to like naps and don't get many during the year, so that's good. I have no problem with this messed up holiday called Thanksgiving, but one day is not enough. Back to our lesson. I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Paul did not cease to give thanks. This would be Paul, who was shipwrecked, stoned, beaten with rods, put in prison, and run out of town. This would be Paul, who was hunted, hated, betrayed, and died alone, beheaded in Rome. Paul did not cease to give thanks in his prayers, but also in writing letters. Okay, I probably lost you there. Let me back up. See, back in the old days, people used to sit down with something called a pencil and paper, and they would take the time to put their feelings into words. And this was called letter writing. And it was kind of a beautiful thing. You see, in the day before emails and emoticons and texting and Twittering, people actually took pride in spelling words correctly, in their penmanship, in using proper grammar. Perhaps it's time to reconsider progress. Paul did not cease to give thanks, and we have a Thanksgiving holy day that's followed by 30 days of shopping. One day is not enough. So I'm going to make a proposition to you this morning. I'm proposing that we expand the Thanksgiving holiday to 12 days, you know, like the 12 days of Christmas. Now, the first 4 days, well, they've already slipped by us. But we're going to have 8 days left. And I want you to practice giving thanks for the next 8 days. Now, I'm going to do this with you. And I'm quite sure, in fact, I promise you that if we take this journey together for the next 8 days, that it will change our December this year. It'll make Christmas be a little more meaningful. It may even change some of our relationships. Now, I don't expect you to remember everything I'm going to say in the next couple minutes. So out in the narthex, there are sermon notes that are free, and they're worth it. The ushers will give you those as you leave, and then you can do this little homework. So this is what we want to do the next 8 days. Day one, that would be tomorrow. You're going to need a journal. Day one, I want you to take 10 minutes, and I want you to list all of the blessings of God's creations. What is it about nature? What is it about the seasons, about life on Whidbey Island, about animals and pets and flowers and trees that make you very thankful? And once you've spent 10 minutes listing all of those out, I want you to look at that list, and with your eyes opened and your attitude adjusted, I want you to take 10 more minutes to pray. To pray in thanksgiving to God and in appreciation for the blessings of creation. Put that away. Wake up the next morning, day two. I want you to take 10 minutes, and I want you to list the blessings of everyday life. For what are you most thankful, and what have you perhaps taken for granted? That's right, like the smell of that first cup of coffee in the morning. Write that down. The hot showers. Aisle after aisle of food at Payless. And the fact that we don't have to spend half of our day every day just searching for and securing fresh, drinkable water. Look at that list with your eyes open and your attitude adjusted. I want you then to take 10 minutes, go through that list, and pray in thanksgiving for everything on that list. And as you do that, I want you to remember one other thing. Behind every one of those creature comforts, behind every one of those blessings, there's a person or there's people. People who work and serve that you might enjoy everyday life. Give thanks. Day three, I want you to take 10 minutes and list your dearest friends and neighbors. I want you to go way back. Go back to high school. Go back to grade school. I want to know the neighbors when you first got married, mentors who taught you the ropes. I want you to list all of their names down and think about the memories that you have shared with them and what a blessing it's been to share this journey with those friends and neighbors. And then I want you to take 10 minutes and I want you to pray for each and every one of them by name. Give thanks. Day four, take 10 minutes and list your family members, dead or alive. And then write a sentence or a paragraph about them. Describe how they were a blessing to you. Now, I want nothing negative here. We all have issues, right? We all have regrets. We all have wounds. I want you to concentrate on what made them special to you in your life. And if someone in your family was more of a curse to you than a blessing, just leave them off the list altogether. We're not going to dwell on anything negative. Once you've done that, I want you then to take 10 minutes to pray in thanksgiving to God for sharing them with you. I want you to pray for each one of them, dead or alive, by name. We're halfway through. Day five, we make a turn. We're going to turn outward now. I want you on day five to go back, open your journal to the front, go back and review that day one list. Review the blessings of creation. Pray once again in thanksgiving. Add anything you can think of to that list you might have left out. And then I want to ask yourself, how can I be a better steward of creation? Can I use less? Can I waste less? Can I recycle more? Can I drive less? Can I consume less? How can I care for creation? God has given us so much, and the best way to show our appreciation to God is to care for that which has been entrusted to us. Day six, review your list from day two. That would be the creature comforts, your daily bread, the blessings of living in the 21st century in the United States. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but you live better and longer and more extravagantly than almost any king or queen in history who lived more than 100 years ago. We have it awfully good. We travel safely. We are rarely attacked by Vikings. We eat and we drink, lacking very little. Now, once I want you to have your eyes open, your attitudes adjusted, and I want you to ask yourself now, who can I personally thank for those blessings? Could I send a card to someone? Could I express a little more appreciation and courtesy to those who provide for me every day? Perhaps you want to put a note in for your letter carrier, in your mailbox, that just says, thank you for bringing my mail every day. Or the garbage man, thank you for picking up my garbage every week. It means a lot to me. Or perhaps a coffee card for the teller at the bank. You give them a card. Or maybe what you'll decide to do is to provide for someone else that they too might enjoy the blessings that you cherish so much. How can you do that? Bring food in here for the local food bank or take it to Good Cheer. Buy a meal for a stranger. Clean out your closet and donate your clothes to charity. Day seven, look back at your list of lifetime friends, neighbors, church friends, and schoolmates. What a blessing, huh? What a gift to have shared the journey with them. Pray once again, giving thanks to God. And now with your heart overflowing, sit down and write them a card or a letter. Express your thankfulness and love. It's going to mean a great deal to them. I'll tell you, a lot better than a fruitcake. Better for them, less expensive for you. In expressing your thanksgiving to them, you will experience the true meaning of thanksgiving without the calories. Day eight, now you knew that the last day would be the hardest, but also perhaps the most rewarding. Review your list of family members. Look at those names. How could you express your gratitude? Pray once again for them by name in thanksgiving to God, and then sit down and write them a letter or card. No emails. No text messages. No emoticons. Write them a letter or send them a card with important, heartfelt words. Give thanks for them and thank them for the role that they played in your life. And as you send those off, you have no expectations of how they're going to be received or that you're ever going to get anything back. There's no guilt. There's no response needed. You just say thank you from your heart. And my hunch is that this little 8-day exercise is going to change attitudes and open doors. It will offer us healing and perspective. This little exercise will be far more effective than the third bottle of Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. One day is not enough. Thanksgiving needs to be practiced every day. Or as Paul said, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Now we're going to make a rather abrupt about face as we go to the final part of the sermon called, I Hear You. The psalmist writes these words, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? If you know it or not, there are so many in the sanctuary this morning, so many in our church family and in our neighborhoods who are desperately looking for relief. Relief from suffering, relief from uncertainty and pain. I hear you. I see you. You all look so happy and put together. You have so much, you 1%ers. You have so much, and yet I know that so much is weighing heavy upon your hearts. This has been an especially difficult season for the people of this parish. I hear you. I know that this is a dark and difficult season. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for mourning, more than those who watch for the morning. I hear you. Even though we have so much to be thankful for, even though there are others sitting around us this morning with heavier burdens, still the terrors of darkness are real for you and for me. We worry about our prodigal children. We watch our spouse move closer to death or further and further away from us into dementia. I hear you. I cry with you. I pray for you. My soul waits for relief. My soul waits for the darkness to retreat more than those who watch for the morning. But there's a promise, and the promise is the seasons will change. The darkness will not last forever. Your days of weeping will turn into days of dancing. The dark days of winter will give way to the warm, sunny days of summer. And I have really good news. On December 21st, at exactly 8:28 a.m., I happen to know that, the rhythm changes. The days get longer. The light begins to return and the darkness retreats. You see, the seasons do change. One day is not enough to give thanks, and one day is too long to walk alone. We need each other. So let us give thanks, and let us hold each other, and then perhaps we can reclaim this messed up holiday. May God open our eyes and our hearts that we might appreciate and care for this wonderful world.